Good morning, everyone. You're all very welcome this morning as the first Sunday of March. And we are in Philippians chapter 2. We are finishing up that chapter. We're looking at verses 19 to 30 today. Now, as Paul started his main teaching portion of this letter back in chapter 1, verse 27, stating, "Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ." Then he went on to explain what that meant by saying in chapter 2, verses 2 to 4, "Complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others." That is an amazing description of how to be a humble servant to the people. And Paul did not stop there, but he gave us the ultimate example of this by saying, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus." And then he goes on to explain Christ's life of humility. In all my life, in all my life, there are only a few people who truly epitomize this. Lona's dad, Jerry, was one of those people. He always worked behind the scenes at church, or even at his regular, normal work during the week. And he worked for me for about 10 years. And whenever he was gone, you knew it. Something did not get done that he would usually do, and you didn't have to think about it, or it was done differently, and you realized somebody else was doing it, not Jerry. And he was also a gift giver. He would find out what you liked, and you would start finding those things on your desk or chair. He would go for coffee every morning, and usually to a bakery for donuts or cookies. And many mornings when I arrived to work, he had already been there, and a peanut butter cookie and a cup of coffee was waiting for me at my desk. And several other people in the building would have a cookie waiting for them. He collected tools and was always giving young apprentice workers tools. There were some young heating and air conditioning workers fresh out of training or still in training, who would work on our building system, and to make extra money, they would work on home systems at night or on the weekends. And those tools were expensive, yet Jerry always seemed to have what they needed. And he gave them tools and meters and everything else that they needed. He never wanted anything, he never asked for anything, and usually people wouldn't know, though they would guess that it was probably from Jerry. He was an example of Paul's description of "let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ." And after Jerry died, someone went back to his workstation in the warehouse, and his Bible was open. He always read the Bible during his breaks and at lunch. And there was a post-it note on his Bible that said, "Good to go." Now, the note itself was meant for whatever he had last worked on. He was going to put it on that whatever it was, and give it back to him with the note, "good to go," but the note was a fitting description of his life. He was good to go. Well, Paul did not leave us without examples of godly men who lived out their lives for Christ, and that's what we're going to look at today. Paul tells us about Timothy and Epaphroditus, two men in different ways who exhibited Christ-like traits of humility and servant leadership. So let me read Philippians 2, verses 19 to 30. "I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by news of you. For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. For they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father he has served with me in the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me. And I trust in the Lord that shortly I myself will come also. I have thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, and your messenger and minister to my need. For he has been longing for you all, and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill, near to death. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I am the more eager to send him, therefore, that you may rejoice at seeing him again, and that I may be less anxious. So receive him in the Lord with all joy, and honor such men. For he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me. Now, Paul loves this church in Philippi, and he wants it to grow in spiritual maturity. Part of that is to make sure that the church has good people in place for ministry, as well as learning from other church leaders. Paul wanted to send the church some helpers to deliver this letter back to the church and to encourage the church. So he has decided to send two men who exhibit the godly traits that he's just written about. First, he tells the church that he will send Timothy to them soon. Not yet, but soon. He wanted to wait until he knew what was happening with himself because he wanted to go back to them as well. Now, he had no idea what was going to happen to him. Will he be released or will he be executed? Whatever was to be his lot, he wanted to send Timothy so that he could inform the church. And of course, Paul was hopeful that he would be released, and his greatest desire was to go back to Philippi to encourage them in person. But also the main reason to send Timothy was so that Timothy could return to him with news of the church so that he would be greatly encouraged. He had such faith in the church that he expected to hear only good news of their work. And we love hearing good news from former churches and former members of our church who are elsewhere. We hear regularly of the church in Colorado, and we also, you know, get visitors and groups coming from time to time, and that's always encouraging. But we hear from the church in Colorado of things that they're doing. We have a close relationship with them since we were with them for 17 years before we moved here. And we rejoice with them as they continue to labor in ministry in Colorado. In the spring, they will be sending 50 people to Mexico to build 4 houses for families in need. And they've been doing this for about 20 years. But this is the first time that they're building four houses. They raise money every year, and they always say they will build however many houses they have funds for. And whatever's left over is just waiting for the next year. And usually it has been 2 or 3 houses. But this year they raised money to build 4. So they needed more workers. They needed up to 50 people to build those houses. And they'll build the houses in 4 days. But it encourages me just to hear about the work that they're doing. And that's just not the only thing. There's a lot of other things. It's encouraging to hear what they're involved with and how God is using them. But Paul is not going to send just anyone. Now, there are plenty of people in Rome with Paul. And remember, this is probably a church within Caesar's household by this time. There are many believers that Paul is teaching on a daily basis. But Paul is not going to send someone to Philippi who's never been there or who has never been involved with ministry. Most of the people that Paul ministered to in Rome were new believers, and they're not ready to be ministry leaders. So Paul decided to send the best man that he had. Paul said that I have no one like him. Timothy was the best. Timothy had been with Paul for at least 10 years by this time. He was with Paul when they first arrived in Philippi. The people knew him. He was respected by the church in Philippi. They knew his proven worth, as Paul said. So Timothy was an example of what Paul had described in chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, looking out for the interest of others, thinking them more significant than himself. Paul said that Timothy would be genuinely concerned for their welfare, for their own. Timothy would have their interests in mind over his own interests. He was there to help them, to encourage them, to shepherd them if needed. And Timothy had a pastor's heart, and he would eventually be the pastor in Ephesus. So he was the man for the job. Timothy was also very close to Paul. Their ministry and personal relationship were closely tied together. Paul thought of Timothy as his son. They had a father-son relationship. As a son with his father, he has served with me in the gospel. And Paul knew Timothy's spiritual heritage. His grandmother and mother were Christians, and they taught Timothy the scriptures at home. He was one of the first early Christians to actually be raised in a Christian home. He was a young man when he started out with Paul, and Paul is definitely a spiritual role model for Timothy as well as a father figure. So Paul was confident in Timothy's abilities, his character, and motivation for gospel ministry. Why? Because of how Timothy followed the servant leader, the servant role of Jesus, who emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. Timothy had followed the model of Christ that Paul had explained to the church. So when Timothy arrived, then Paul wanted the Philippian church to observe his selfless, flesh and blood example of one who lives a life worthy of the gospel of Christ. Timothy had stood firm in one spirit with Paul in the Philippians, fearlessly striving side by side for the gospel. There was no rivalry or conceit in his nature. He counted others more significant than himself while looking out for the interests of others. He had put on the one mind of Christ. He devoted his life to the church as a place to work out his salvation with fear and trembling. There was no grumbling or disputing with Timothy. Paul had confidence in Timothy's caring pastor's heart and his excellent character. So Paul wanted the best for the church in Philippi, and Timothy was the best in Paul's eyes for the job. Now, who was this guy, Epaphroditus? He is only mentioned in this letter, here, in these six verses, and in later in at the end of the letter in chapter 4, verse 18. We don't know if he was a preacher or a teacher. What we do know is that he was a faithful servant, that he was from the church in Philippi, and that he nearly died on his way to see Paul, and he recovered while in Rome. Now, while Timothy had the qualities and training of a pastor, Epaphroditus was a layman in the church that the church leaders in Philippi had great confidence in. He was a trusted individual with great moral character. Now, how do we know this? Well, Paul only wrote a few sentences about him, but we learn a lot about his character and how Paul highly respected him. So let's take a closer look. Well, first, let's look at the reason why he was with Paul. Now, if you want to go to chapter 4, verses 14 to 18, I don't have it on the screen this morning, but at the end of the letter, chapter 4, verses 14 to 18, Paul tells us that the church in Philippi was the only church that worked with Paul and supported his ministry while he was in Macedonia. And when he was in the church in Thessalonica, twice they sent help to him. whether that was a monetary gift or sending someone to work with him or both. So it was not out of character for the church to send Epaphroditus to Rome with a gift for Paul to help with his expenses as a prisoner and to encourage him, as well as bringing news to him of all that was going on in the church in Philippi. The church trusted the man to carry the offerings and supplies to Paul. The gift from the church was to help cover Paul's expenses and to fund his ministry, plus for Epaphroditus to stay for a while to help Paul, and possibly to learn from Paul in the ways of gospel ministry. So there would be no better teacher for a church layman than to learn from Paul. Well, next, let's look at why Paul was going to send him back. Epaphroditus became very ill, possibly on the way to see Paul. And we do not know what he had or how he had become sick, but he nearly died from this. And since the healthcare system would be nearly non-existent, his recovery in the prison with Paul was miraculous. Only by the grace of God did he recover. He was obviously there long enough for the church in Philippi to hear of his sickness. This also supports the idea that he did not travel alone, but at least with one other person to help protect the gifts for Paul, but also they took word back to the church that he was gravely ill. That's how the church heard about it. Now, Paul decided it was necessary to send Epaphroditus back because he had become very distressed knowing that the church had no idea what had become of him. He was worried that they may think that he had died, and he longed to go back to relieve their fears and to encourage them. Paul, too, was extremely grateful to God for God's deliverance of the man. Paul said that God's mercy on Epaphroditus was also mercy for himself, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. And that's a Jewish way of just saying how sad he would have been if the man had died. Thus, as he says in verse 28, I am the more eager to send him, therefore, that you may rejoice at seeing him again, and that I may be less anxious. But let's back it up a minute and look at how Paul described Epaphroditus. We've talked about, the reason why he was with Paul and the reason why Paul wanted to send him back, but actually, how did Paul describe Epaphroditus? Well, Paul gave him five titles basically in one sentence in the space of about 10 words or so. He gave him five titles. These titles tell us just how much Paul respected this man. This man was not just a delivery boy running an errand for the church. He was a respected member of the church, entrusted with a great gift for Paul, and Paul seemed to know him very well. He starts out by describing this who Epaphroditus was to him. He said, "My brother," which meant he was a fellow believer, a follower of Christ, as well as a personal friend. Paul most likely knew him well from his days in Philippi, and maybe Epaphroditus had visited him in Thessalonica. Paul had a close relationship with this man. But my brother and my fellow worker, he was a worker with Paul in the gospel ministry, and we don't know what he did, but as a lay person in the church, he would be doing things behind the scenes that helped Paul and helped the church. But not only was he my brother, a fellow worker, but also a fellow soldier. He faced hardships with Paul. He wasn't scared off by adversity. He would understand what Paul meant by fighting the good fight. He had been with Paul long enough to understand what spiritual warfare was all about. These three titles described how Epaphroditus, who Epaphroditus was to Paul. But the next two are to describe his role with the church, the sending church. He says, your messenger. He brought word to Paul from the church, probably a letter with greetings from all the saints in Philippi, as well as bringing the gifts. And we know he brought a financial gift, but probably some tangible items too, for Paul's comfort and for his ministry. Because not only is he your messenger, but he's your minister to my need. He was there to be a blessing to Paul, to aid in his ministry in Caesar's household, and to bring encouragement to Paul. Seeing a friendly face from a dear friend is great encouragement for everyone. Now, Epaphroditus was a selfless servant that Paul bestowed with these titles of honor. And Paul requested the church to receive him with the same respect and honor that he held for him. Receive him to the Lord with all joy and honor such men. For he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me. This is the reason why Epaphroditus was an example of someone who lived a life worthy of the gospel of Christ. He risked his life for the gospel. He nearly died for the work of Christ. He didn't think of his own welfare. He was worried that the church thought he was dead. The interests of others, of Paul, and of the church in Philippi, were more significant than his own life. So there we have Timothy and Epaphroditus. How are we as a church and as individuals, how are we living out Paul's command in 127? Only let your manner be of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ. Well, we should value fellow workers and followers of Jesus who demonstrate sacrificial service for the church. After we leave for our trip to the U.S., every week there will be someone who has given up something to be here. They have given of their time and finances, spending time away from the churches to be here because they want to honor the Lord. They want to serve. So welcome them with honor and rejoice that they're here. You know, there was an old sports slogan in the U.S., be like Mike, for that drink, and for Gatorade, and referring to the basketball player Michael Jordan. Unfortunately, there was only one Michael Jordan, but the slogan was not be Mike, but be like Mike. See, there's a big difference. To be like Jordan meant you needed to work hard, practice every day with the passion and intensity that Michael Jordan exhibited. You don't have the same skills, but you can hone your own skills through hard work. And that's what Paul meant by be of the same mind as Christ. And then he shared how Timothy and Epaphroditus lived out their faith like Christ. And we should do the same. Be like Timothy, who modeled a life of humility and servant leadership, which he learned from Paul and from Jesus. Be like Epaphroditus, who modeled a life of selflessness, risking his own life for the gospel. We can't be them, but we can be like them. Be like Christ. We can look to the martyrs in the Bible and throughout history who gave their lives for the gospel. We can also think of church workers who gave their lives for the church, living their lives as fellow workers and fellow soldiers for the church. Ted and Liz Kelly, who gave their whole lives for the Baptist churches in Cork and Kerry. Seth and Jessica Lewis, who have spent the last 18 years working with two different church plants in Cork. They were with Y'all when Y'all was planted as a church and helped that church to grow. And then 7 years ago, they went to Carrigtwohill and started Bible studies there and building up that church. So they've spent those 18 years, their last 18 years of their lives working for two churches, building them up. Amy Patterson, who learned from her grandparents, Ted and Liz, and is working with Muslim women in England, and she's had just finished her first year. She's into her second year there. The young Christian lady in the Myanmar prison who is arrested for giving people water. She has a Bible study in her prison cell with other Christian ladies. She's exhibiting what it is to be like Christ. And there are people like Lona's dad who are silently and selflessly doing work behind the scenes in churches. They usually are only recognized when they aren't there and someone else has to do the work. And that's what Paul was doing as he told the church that he was sending Timothy and Epaphroditus. He could have just said that he's going to send two people to the church soon, but he used this part of the letter to show that these men were examples of how he had just described Christ and just how he had described how to live a life worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They were living their lives for Christ. And this is how they are doing so, and you should do the same. You know, there's a novel about the mid-19th century Church of England, written by Trollope. It ends with the description of the fictional pastor, Reverend Mr. Harding, of the small church at St. Cuthbert. And he says, the author now leaves him in the hands of his readers, not as a hero, not as a man to be admired and talked of, not as a man who should be toasted at public dinners and spoken of with conventional absurdity as a perfect divine, but as a good man, without guile, believing humbly in the religion which he has striven to teach and guided by the precepts which he has striven to learn. Well, what a lovely fitting tribute to a humble, selfless man of God. Even though that's a work of fiction, it's a fitting tribute to Paul's humble disciple Timothy, and fellow servant and soldier of the gospel, Epaphroditus. Yet, there is one difference. Both of these men, Timothy and Epaphroditus, are to be admired and talked of because of their selfless devotion to the gospel of Jesus Christ. They should be respected and honored because of that. Two Christ-like servants of the gospel showing us how to be like Christ. Let's pray.